Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Northern Arc Capital Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan N. Shah from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call for Northern Arc Capital. We have with us from the management, Mr. Ashish Mehrotra, MD and CEO, and the senior management team. I would like to congratulate the management for a steady set of numbers. So now, without further ado, I would like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, Ashish, sir.
Thank you, Chintan. Thanks, Dominic, for putting this together for us. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining today evening. I know it's a Valentine's Day, but thank you for taking the time off to join us today. We'll talk about the Northern Arc performance for the third quarter and, i.e., for the first 9 months of the FY25 fiscal year. Northern Arc has built a robust and well-established distribution network over the past 15 years, which includes widespread presence in about 373 branches, a customer base of about 1.9 million, partnerships with over 343 originators with over 1,100 investors. The extensive network has enabled us to facilitate credit financing totaling to over 2 trillion INR and approximately impacting the lives of over 115 million individuals and businesses. That being said, our assets under management on an AUM basis has grown by about 16% on a year-on-year basis, reaching about 1,250 crores compared to the rather muted credit growth we witnessed in the industry. Our proactive strategy enabled us to anticipate and assess the stress emerging from the MFI space. As a result, our share of direct MFI exposure has decreased to about 9.6%, up from 14% in December 2023. Furthermore, our diversified business model provides us with the flexibility to adjust our sectoral exposure or the exposure to a select set of customer segments as needed, allowing us to efficiently scale up or scale down in response to the opportunity or challenges in the marketplace. Over the last, the current credit cycle is not something we are unfamiliar with. We have been cautious with risk management at the core and emphasize focus on risk monitoring and collection, both in terms of arresting flows and improving recoveries in case we deal with these stress situations. Having said that, over the last 15 years, we have weathered multiple cycles, including the events such as demonetization, IL&FS crisis, DHFL crisis, COVID pandemic, 19, while remaining consistently profitable quarter on quarter. Our robust and diversified business model has enabled us to navigate these challenges while consistently delivering the top quartile results on a quarterly basis. The increase in GNPA is primarily attributable to the stress in the MFI sector, which, as I mentioned earlier, has been significantly scaled down. Further, as market condition evolves, we remain cautious, and we expect that over a period of next few quarters, the market will tend to reach towards normalization. Apart from lending, we have a strong fee franchise, which essentially constitutes two parts of what we do. One is the placement solution, and second is the fund management business, which generate consistently sticky fee incomes and provide a kicker to our return on assets. Our placement volume for the first 9 months is over 8,000 crores, and compared to the same period, it's largely flattish because of the challenges I spoke earlier in the unsecured and the MFI space. As credit market stabilizes and the confidence returns, we anticipate resurgence in demand for the placement services, enabling us to regain the momentum and continue supporting the growth of flowing of credit to the underserved and the unserved sectors broadly around the credit markets. These are non-risk-taking. I just want to clarify placement. We don't take any risk on our balance sheet. This is purely the placement of structured finance solutions we provide. On our performing credit funds, our AUM is about 2,700, close to 2,800, with an additional undrawn commitment of about 350 crores from our existing fund. Furthermore, we've launched the climate fund, which we spoke about earlier, based out of GIFT City, which targets about $125 million. Today, we have a secured hard commitment of over $65 million from various foreign institutions. This commitment provides us with a robust pipeline to deploy approximately 1,300 crores in the coming quarters. Another key differentiator to our growth strategy and to our overall strategy is strong technology and data analytics capability.
This call will be recorded.
We build strong proprietary tech platform like Nimbus, a loan origination system called NPOS, which provides on-lending and co-lending solutions, new score and analytics platform, a proprietary scorecard platform, and Altifi, a distribution platform designed to democratize the retail participation in the credit space. We expect to monetize these platforms in the coming quarters and years by collaborating with our originators and investors. Our disciplined approach to the risk management and strategic expansion has driven and delivered about 22% growth on a year-on-year basis in our profit pools, reaching to about 267 crores for the first 9 months of the year, with an ROA return on assets of about 2.9%. This period has reinforced an important insight that a resilient business with a proven track record thrives in challenging environment. Our ability to navigate uncertainty while sustaining growth highlights a maturity, agility, and commitment to the value creation. Looking ahead, we remain focused on delivering solid and solid and sustainable performance of our business and to create a long-term value for all the stakeholders in our ecosystem. I'm going to request my colleague, Atul Tibrewal, our CFO, to walk us through the financials, and then we can open the call for taking the Q&As itself. Thank you. Atul, over to you. Yeah.
Thanks, Ashish. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the Northern Arc earning call. Let me take you through the financial performance of the company. The assets under management stood at 12,250 crores, reflecting a strong growth of 16% year-on-year and remained flat in comparison to September 24. In terms of AUM mix, the MSME finance contribution increased to 39%, followed by consumer finance at 29% and MFI at 19%. Our direct-to-customer mix improved significantly to 52% of the AUM. Our net revenue, including fees and other income, reached 289 crores in quarter three, reflecting an 8% year-on-year growth. The interest accruals on write-off and stage three loans amounting to 25 crores have been reversed in quarter three, FY25. Fees and other income on a DuPont basis have remained range-bound at 0.7% of the average total assets. Cost of funds have increased marginally from 9.1% in H1 to 9.2% in 9 months FY25 due to liquidity constraint and elevated interest rate environment in the market. Additionally, we have significantly progressed in strengthening our balance sheet with our debt equity ratio improving from 3.9x in March 24 to 2.5x as on December 24. Our provisioning coverage ratio is at 60%. Our pre-provisioning operating profit, or PPOP as we call it, for Q3 increased by 9% YOY to INR 176 crores. Barring the set adjustment of interest reversal, PPOP has grown by 24% YOY to INR 201 crores. OPEX ratio was stable at 3.5% for the quarter. Recognizing the overall ongoing stress in the MFI industry, we have strategically moderated our direct microfinance business. Credit cost in quarter 3 FY25 is 81 crores, which denotes a 2.5% of the average total assets. GNPA and NNPA stood at 0.9 and 0.37% respectively. On the liquidity front, we remain quite comfortable with the positive cumulative mismatch across all time buckets. We have surplus liquidity of close to 600 crores as on 31st December and undrawn sanctions of over 1200 crores from various banks. Our total borrowings at the end stood at the end of the quarter stood at around 8600 crores with approximately 65% tied to variable interest rate. So this position will serve us favorably to benefit from the anticipated lower interest rate environment in the future. We have also diversified our funding mix significantly during the year with offshore fund raise of close to $115 million in the beginning of the year, which of course is on a fully hedged basis. Capital adequacy continues to be strong, well above the regulatory requirement, with capital adequacy standing at 26.1%. This provides us enough headroom for us to grow our balance sheet for the next 2 to 3 years. Our tangible net worth as on 31st December was 3,400 crores. We made a PAT of 76 crores for the quarter. For 9 months FY25, the PAT was 267 crores, therefore reporting a growth of 22% over the previous year. Thank you so much. With this, I would now like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead. Renish, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question. As we're not getting a response from the current participant, we will proceed to the next question, which will be from the line of Nidesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Can you break down the credit cost on the direct microfinance portfolio and rest of the portfolio?
Sure, happy Father. CRO will take this.
Hi. Out of the overall credit cost of 81.3 crores for the quarter, the microfinance portfolio credit cost is 21.5 crores.
This is the direct microfinance, right? Direct microfinance portfolio cost credit cost 25 crores.
Correct.
Or total microfinance. Secondly, how do you see the growth in the fund business, let's say, over next couple of years?
I think the fund business, sorry, the question is for the funds business growth.
Yes. What is the plan for fund business growth and how do you see the outlook over next 2 years?
I think we are reasonably bullish on our funds business. We have demonstrated with 10 funds performance over the last 9 years, and we've successfully delivered 5 or 10 of those. We've successfully delivered better than promised returns in each of our funds. I mean, that shows the resilience and performance of the fund. If I look at an aggregate basis, the funds have delivered over 14.5% return over the last 9 years on the fixed income platform. We are expanding our funds business. The first fund I spoke about, Climate, which is a $125 million green shoe dollar denominated funds getting launched. We are finally on the verge of finally closing out our emerging business fund where we deployed over close to 1,000 crores. And then we are in the process of launching 3 more funds, which all been in the pipeline, both in regards to the India Impact 2X, essentially supporting the project businesses, and the second version of the emerging business fund closer to the private credit. Given that the robust origination and the risk management practice, the funds business poised to grow significantly from where it stands. and we remain deeply committed in building that franchise given the track record of 9 years of performance with over spread across, you know, over 10,000 crores of deployment in the funds business.
Sure. And what is the status of ABM housing, which I think you have exposure to? Is it still current, or have you identified that as have you classified that as GS3?
We normally don't comment on status of individual exposures and measures taken to address risk issues from the portfolio. We have a framework for identifying the stress early, taking mitigation action to minimize the potential losses, recognizing the savings affected as per accounting norms, and provide protection for protection for credit losses early. Provisions for this quarter include all the assets which are under stress or potentially under stress, and discussed with our statutory auditor and approved by the risk committee, audit committee, and the board of the company. This is not the first time Nagmark is seeing a credit stress environment, and both in terms of retail and in terms of intermediate retail exposures. We have handled multiple stress situations on multiple cycles, whether it is demonetization or COVID or ILFS or any of these cycles. We have a mechanism to handle both retail and intermediate retail stresses, and the process is continuing. I would not be able to confirm a specific asset staging or provision in a call like this.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi. Sir, first of all, congrats on a good set of numbers, especially in the environment where, you know, most of the guys having MF exposure reporting losses. It's encouraging to know that we have maintained our profitability. So just two questions from my side. One on the borrowing side. So when we look at the 9 month FY25 cost of borrowing, you know, sort of remaining flattish at 9.2, especially when we look at the bank MCLR rates, it's, you know, it's keep on increasing. So how are we managing our cost of funds in this quarter, and what is the outlook? I mean, given the rate cut has already started, how are we placed, you know, following rate cycle?
If you want to take it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks, Renish. So, you correctly mentioned quarter two was a bit tight in terms of liquidity. We did see the short-term rates go up. Few of the banks did increase their MCLR. But the good thing we did, Renish, was that we raised a sufficient amount of liquidity end of September. And we also raised 500 crores of capital, which actually took us through the entire last quarter. And we were sitting on a good amount of liquidity, considering growth was a bit muted. We actually are now seeing, you know, some of the rates now coming down, both the short-term and long-term. We are also seeing, you know, banks also started stabilizing. And going forward, we will definitely see some improvement or some reduction in the cost of fund. We continue to hold good amount of liquidity. That this is a good question. As I mentioned, that 65% of our rates are variable, and when we actually see the banks bringing down the rates post the repo rate cut, that will actually significantly help improve our cost of fund.
Got it. So, sir, let's say the 64% of our borrowing, you know, with banks, what percentage of this is linked to EBLR and, let's say, 1 month, 3 month MCLR?
Yeah, most of it will be linked to MCLR of the banks, but close to 5% would be linked to repo rate. So there also, you know, the change doesn't happen overnight. The change will happen, you know, end of quarter, beginning of next quarter. So, but yeah, that's a very small amount of the total borrowing. The major part is linked to MCLR.
Got it. Yeah. And so my second question
is to add is that the structure, the way our liability profile is designed, with the long-term borrowing, with the offshore, and the amount of liquidity we sit on, we probably will get benefited significantly, and more importantly, we have always have positive ALM. matches. So probably among the NBFC peer groups, it's fair to say, will have one of the strongest liability franchise.
Got it. And sir, maybe just a follow-up on that. So offshore funding, a fully hedged cost is similar to 9.2 or is slightly higher?
No, it will be lower. So we would have availed at the beginning of the year. So the rates were lower at that point of time. And, we have raised close to $115 million. So the all inclusive fully hedged cost was less than 9%.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay. And so my second question is on the microfinance exposure. So it clearly mentioned that we have calibrated the growth in this segment, and I think this is the right strategy considering the current environment. But what is your internal assessment on the MFI? I mean, is it fair to assume that the asset quality has picked out and maybe from Q4 onwards we should start seeing the improvement, or you feel otherwise?
Yeah, we have, we have been seeing in the market and from all the disclosures from various participants, credit stress in the sector is quite high. In terms of what we should expect as credit losses from this portfolio, the way we look at it, there are reports of some early improvement in delinquencies and very early buckets.
Sorry, sir, I'm not able to hear you, sir.
Yeah. while we have heard the reports and we have seen some numbers in some geographies of improvement in early bucket delinquency, which might be seen as a turnaround after cycle, we believe it's a bit too early to call that, particularly with actions happening in various geographies in the last few days. One needs to be cautious in this environment, and it's a little too early to call picking out of the stress in microfinance. We should expect some more months of
stabilization.
Some more months required for the final is to stabilize and credit losses to stabilize.
Got it. And are you referring to the Karnataka bill or is it something else?
Yes. That is what I meant. While the notification clearly is not covering the regulated entity, RBI regulated entity, whether it is banks or NBFCs, we have to see whether there will be any spillover effects on the collection efficiency for us.
Got it. I mean, if, so just a last follow-up on that. So if one has to exclude the Karnataka, both in terms of the event and the collection, and the rest of the India has started showing improvement, or it is still, I mean, as you said, we should wait for a couple of months?
If we are talking about the credit cost or the NPA level, we should wait for a couple of months more. Collection efficiency have shown little improvement, particularly in the month of December. But again, one month of collection efficiency improvement is not something that we would like to go by. We would want to see a couple of more months of stabilization to be confident of that.
Got it, sir. Okay, sir. That's it from my side, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
The next question is from the line of Paresh from Canara HSBC Life. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, as I can see, your stage 2 and stage 3 has increased by 40 basis points each from September to December quarter. I just wanted to understand that the increase in this stress is largely from MFI, or also there are some exposure to your NBFCs where you lend that have also been recognized in this increase in stage 2 and stage 3.
This increase in stage 2 and stage 3 is coming both from our intermediate retail and direct retail portfolios.
Sorry, can you repeat, sir?
The increase in stage 2 and stage 3 is coming from both our intermediate retail and direct retail portfolios, and not just only from MFI.
Okay, alright. And your PCR has dropped quite sharply from September, on stage 3 from September to December quarter. So, I mean, where do you see this number stabilizing? Would you want to increase your coverage on the stage 3, and how will the credit cost look ahead?
Yeah. Stage 3 PCR, obviously, with the sort of diversified portfolio that we have, stage 3 PCR is a function of the mix of the assets in stage 3. If you have a secured asset, if you have a secured retail loan, say, it moves into stage 3, obviously, because of the collateral value, your PCR requirement would be lower. If it is unsecured, obviously, it will be higher, and in case unsecured retail loans, we do write off. So, to that extent, there is no change in provision policy for stage 3 assets, whether it is institutional or retail. It is just a function of mix.
So, if you have to give a breakup of your slippages in the quarter between the direct lending and your indirect lending, what will be the breakup of this?
Sir, sorry to interrupt. You will need to come closer to the mic and speak, sir.
Right. Close to 25% of the credit cost in the quarter is from intermediate lending, and the balance is from the direct retail.
No, sir. I was asking with respect to slippages, sir, not with respect to credit cost. To increase whatever stress we have seen in this quarter. So if you have to break it up between direct and indirect, what will it be, sir? Break up approximately.
It would be in a similar ratio. That's how the credit cost also has come. But I would have to come back with specific numbers on that.
Also, sir, so given that you are seeing a lot of stress in MFI and most of the entities are reporting losses, and we do a lot of lending to MFI institutions. How confident are we with respect to the asset quality in those exposure, given that most of them will have to raise funds because of the losses we are seeing? And if you are having any exposure to unlisted entities, it's going to be very challenging for them to raise funds.
Our exposure to MFI in intermediate retail is only 8% of overall balance sheet. The way we actually expect these numbers, I think the perception is here that we lend to a lot of MFI, which is true, we do. But in terms of the overall balance sheet size, our overall exposure to microfinance sector is at 17%, of which the direct piece is close to 6%, and the balance is institutional. There is a mechanism for us to evaluate the entities. There are internal ratings by the assigned each of the entities. We are closely monitoring the risk. The way we look at it, as of now, an institutional space in intermediate retail and microfinance, we have not yet seen any entity getting into stress to the extent that we should be concerned about. We have a robust early alert and risk monitoring sort of mechanism which continues and does its job. But no intermediate retail specific exposure that we are particularly concerned with now. In fact, you would be aware of the RBI action in the last quarter in terms of stopping new booking of loans for a couple of MFI entities, both of which have actually come back. To that extent, at an intermediate retail space, the scenario actually has slightly improved. Obviously, while the retail microfinance portfolio stress continues.
Okay. So my last question, sir. Sir, how are you looking at the credit cost in the next subsequent quarters? Like, do you expect this number to increase materially from here, or are you expecting it to be in the similar level what you've seen in the first two quarters, second and third quarters?
We would not provide a specific guidance in terms of the numbers, etc. But the way we look at it, the stress environment in microfinance and MSME sort of sectors is continuing, and we should be cautious and expect elevated credit costs for some time to come. Obviously, the earlier we are able to see the plateauing and improvement in credit costs, the better it is. We are looking forward for that, but it's too early to call it top or to say that in one quarter it will come down, but two quarters it will come down.
All right, sir. Thanks, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Balotia from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the question. So on this, on the credit cost, I just wanted to ask, you have mentioned already, but still wanted more clarification. On a quarterly basis, sequentially, I see credit cost going up marginally only from 78 crore to 81 crores. And you've also mentioned that you've taken the hit of the affordable housing fraud that has happened. So can you just help us understand, you know, QOQ, MFI stress has gone up and we've also taken this housing stress and still our credit cost has not gone up. That is one. Second is on the MFI stress you've mentioned, I understand you've mentioned multiple times, but still direct to consumer, direct borrowing that we do in MFI, if I look at the entire spectrum of other companies which have reported, the credit cost is, you know, in the range of say 5 to 15%. So for us, what is the provision that we have taken in the MFI book in the 9 months, and how do you see that panning out for the full year and next year? If you can share some numbers. And lastly, on your direct lending, if consumer segment wise breakup on you know, credit outlook, if you can give some insights into how the credit cost would be in different segments, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Right. In Q3, we have actually seen an increase in credit cost. As Atul has mentioned earlier in the call, we have written off the interest on the 590 gross and GNPA loans, which gave us some amount of cushion on the credit cost. Otherwise, if we have not made that change we write back the interest on NPA loans, the credit cost would have been higher by 24 crores. So that I think.
So would the income be higher by 24 crores?
And obviously, income also, income and credit cost would have been higher by 24 crores, if we have not made that change in the way we calculate. So to that extent, credit cost has actually gone up during this quarter. In terms of microfinance, as I mentioned, on the retail direct microfinance space, we have seen elevated credit cost. And on the institutional space, as I mentioned again, very strong risk management and the risk monitoring mechanism that we have, and how the entities through which we provide these intermediate retail loans are robust, and there was no requirement to provide additional expected credit loss provision in this space. To that extent, that was not really much of a concern. And the third piece in terms of where we see consumer finance credit losses continue to be in the same range as it used to be over the last 9 months. In fact, it has only slightly come down. Microfinance is something that we are closely watching, and while there are some comments in terms of the peak being seen by in November and December, that is something we are still monitoring. Particularly, we would want to see for at least a couple of more months, including Karnataka. MSME stress levels also are actually higher during the last 6 months. Particularly the unsecured MSME, basically what we call as unsecured business loans. But that is something that I think a lot of people have factored in terms of the pricing of the asset. To that extent, that should not be a surprise. Whereas the microfinance was probably not priced into this extent.
So Sumit, also to add to your question on the 9 months ECL or credit cost for microfinance. So of the total 211 crores of credit cost, around 25% would be from the direct microfinance business activity. So 25% of the credit cost, you know, would be for the microfinance out of the 211 crores.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Ashish, first question is, what is the total consumer base between microfinance and other products we service directly and indirectly?
So we serve about 19 lakh customers, Sushilji. We serve about 19 lakh customers directly through our network of direct lending businesses.
And if you take your partners?
This includes where we lend in conjunction with many of our lending partners.
And historically, we would have served how many customers?
So we historically impacted about close to 1.9 trillion lives. So we've historically impacted large number. We have about 40 plus million time series of loan performance data. So some of the scorecards and the work we do is significantly superior. That's where it is. So that's the comment I made.
Your scorecard?
Hmm?
Can you elaborate a bit on your scorecard?
So we run scorecards. We run over 22 plus scorecards in our models, including for securitization and all the pools we finance, and for our direct lending across the segments of consumers, small business loans, small business loans, consumers, and all the loans we provide. And these scorecards are built both looking at the leading data and the lagging data, which helps us to essentially identify the better cohort of performing loans and give us better outcomes vis-a-vis what we see if you wouldn't have run the score. So I think the scorecards is a strong performance. We also begin to offer some of them to other partners.
You've generated historically and today so many million customers. Other than marketing, whether it's a housing loan, MFI loan, or any other product which you're selling through your partners, direct consumer products, which like any other banking partners, have you tied up with any product, whether it's mutual fund, insurance, or distribution of any product, which can be a big game changer in terms of fee income?
Yeah, so three things we are doing. One, we also offer NPOS, the partner origination systems, to the bank to help them to originate loans. We had a live with South Indian Bank, and we're now working through to go live with three other banks, which is Karnataka in public domain, and BCB, which is public domain. There's one more PSU, which is signed up last week, or in the process of signing up. So we now have four partner banks. The advantage the partner bank has that they can originate multiple types of loans: secured, unsecured, personal loan, business loan, gold loan, vehicle finance, affordable housing loans, LAP, loan against property. All these types of loans can be seamlessly processed using this platform. We use this platform for our own underwriting and origination. On any given day, we underwrite, connect, approve, and disperse over 25,000 loans a day. So we're the most robust technology and database solution for you to do KYC, you to do penny drop, you to validate, you to run scorecard and approve a loan. So that's the one piece that we'll add as we go forward, like the comment I made in monetizing both the data and tech income. The second one is a platform called Altifi, where right now which is also an RFQ registered platform, where we do currently, which was created to democratize the securities we have on our platform. And we've been downselling. Now we are expanding that to offer other solutions, including over a period of time, which we find some other products. So I think that expansion will essentially net. We will be a high-quality lending business coupled with a very unique free franchise. The free franchise is coming from placement, funds business, and some data tech and RTP. This is a pretty unique combination for any other non-bank finance company or for any. I think that gives us a massive edge over a period of time. And today, even on a challenging time, our free franchise makes almost 70-80 basis points of our return on assets. And as we see it expanding and growing quarter on quarter, we believe it should start providing the incremental kicker to the return on assets today. Thank you, sir.
Your platform is integrated with three banks as of today live, that is South Indian, Karnataka, and the third PSU bank.
So South Indian Bank is live. They have underwritten over, I think, close to 500 odd crores of gold loans coming from a very high-quality bank-based partner, and I don't know the partner. We are integrating seven other partners there. And DCB and Karnataka, we are integrating right now, so hopefully should go live by end of this quarter.
Do you retain any part of the portfolio in your books? It's 100%.
We make the SaaS income on enabling the flow of credit. The fee income arises and is a component of two parts. For long-term loans, which are essentially more than 24-month loans, 3 months, annual, this is the average net receivables for fee. For short-term loans, which are less than close to 24 months of tenure, we charge on the value of loans getting disbursed using the platform. So it's a pure fee income, no risk on our balance sheet. The placement costs are all fee incomes without taking risk on the balance sheet. Essentially, there are very few companies who can monetize their strength and assets, and given we are a high-impact credit business, we are beginning to do that.
Have you attended on the same platform anything to do with LAP loans, MSME loans, or anything else?
We do all of those products usually. We do originate LAP, we do gold. So if the bank wants any of those asset classes or any other lender wants those asset classes, we can seamlessly connect APIs and flow. And it is very agile, so you can decide to select that I only want people living in certain geographies, certain income, certain categories, and you can change that every 3 hours. That's the agility of that platform.
How many banks do you think in the next 12 months you tie up for?
Sorry, sir?
Right now you have said you have two private sector banks from South. One PSU bank. How many more banks would you tie up for?
We have and one hopefully we go in line with the public sector bank. And then others we continue to expand as we go about doing it, sir.
Is this platform directly competing with UBA and Knight Frank, or is it something different?
I think, you know, there are platform providers, and there are platforms who have 5 years of demonstrated result. I have underwritten 25, 30 million loans on this platform, sir. This platform for us has gone through every change in regulation, every way that we account, we accrue. And so I don't think there is anyone who has a platform as robust as this. Obviously, yes, we do compete with them, but, you know, there is a test. Yes.
Do you charge anything for the platform?
We have 400 partners on this platform, so I can, unlike the other tech businesses, we already have partners on this platform.
Do you charge anything for the platform, or it's only a fee collection on the product generator?
No, it is essentially can be a SaaS or a fee business, depending on how the economics work with the investors.
By any design or product, you can do insurance or any other financial products on this platform via these banks?
Those capabilities, sir. The platform has the capability to offer embedded products, or we added some of that. But lastly, these are offered by the originators and not by the investors. So, you know, it's a pretty agile platform for us to adjust to.
On this housing finance company, whatever the rate is outstanding, you don't want to speak on numbers. But can you tell us that what is the percentage of loan which is outstanding have you provided for? Specifically to that account. So we know that risk is only amount of that much outstanding. Rather, I'm not taking names. So you may say 25, 50, whatever percentage is.
You know, so Sushilji, one, we don't provide specific at an obligor level. It will be unfair for us to comment. But unlike the conventional term loan lenders, our approach is loan to originate. So we have a specific charge on a specific portfolio which is broadly assigned to us. What we believe could potentially be beyond the fair market value, we would have provided over 65% of that fair market value.
And the separately provided portfolio to you, which is only assigned to you, how much is performing portfolio in that?
That's already get built into the fair market value. I don't think I'll be able to answer beyond this, sir. Because then I'm giving specific strategies at an account and an obligor level. All I can say, I may be steps ahead. I may be many steps ahead of any other lender.
Can I assume you're fairly ahead of the curve which is required?
I think we are ahead of the curve, but we still have to go through the process as it goes through. We are ahead of the curve, but you know, there is obviously NCLT and other processes we have to deal with. But we are pretty prudent and we are very cautious, and you know, the action we have taken. You know,
my last question. Yeah, go ahead.
No, please go ahead with the question.
Can I assume that your borrowing cost is peak?
I think so. We did see a little bit of change in the quarter because of the way the liquidity was. But I see over it, as I look forward, I see our borrowing cost providing incremental relief for the spread expansion. We've also been pretty judicious. So, you know, I think we are ahead of curve even on that. If you compare us to our peers with a similar rating curve. And we will stay ahead on that.
Good luck to the team and thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Purushottam from Volkswagen. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So, my first question is, as sir mentioned in the commentary as well, the next two quarters will be a big cost year for us. So, what will be the guidance for financial year 25-26, sir? Growth guidance?
I think we will, like I said, we will remain cautiously optimistic and in building the quality of the business. So, idea is to chase the quality growth, and we're just not chasing at it. We fully cognizant of the current challenges in the environment. We should end somewhere wherever we end, but it will be between 15-20% growth on an annualized basis. So that's where it should be.
Okay, thank you, sir. And my second question is, what is the dividend policy of Northern Arc?
What is the, sorry, I didn't get the word.
What is the dividend policy?
I think that for debate in our board, that's one of the important agenda items. We fully cognizant that this is an entity we need to work on it. We are working this through and hopefully should be able to come back to you guys before we close, before the next call.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balaji Kasal from Profocus Value. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I have only one question regarding mutual MFI. As we see the data, you are downsizing it. As the CFO mentioned, you are moderating the credit size of portfolio. Just want to know what is the plan in the near future. You have downsized to zero or close down or sell off it, complete MFI, or you want to be remain the player that there?
I think a very interesting question. Like I said earlier, we are a diversified lending business. We focus on customer segments. We also have an ability to dial up and dial down depending on opportunities and challenges. If you see our numbers closely, you will see there is a big growth in the MSME space, in the consumer lending space. MFI, we've been cautiously bringing it down over the last 3-4 quarters. If you look at over the last 3 years, the numbers are very different. And we will build back with our scorecards as we find the market stabilizes and the regulation and market stabilizing over a couple of quarters. It's a very interesting business. We stay deeply committed to ensuring the flow of credit to the underserved individuals as both the regulatory, self-regulatory bodies, the MFI sector, Sadhan and MFIN, we are working very closely with them. And I think as things begin to stabilize, we will continue to work, stand committed. But I think, our strategy to answer your question very specifically is to ensure no sector barring MSME can be more than 30% of our balance sheet. MSME, we can go up to 45-50%, which includes large portion of the secured and secured lending. So sectorally, we remain diversified because we over the last 15 years, we've seen the businesses and customer segments tends to face challenge. And for you to be a resilient and a consistent performer, you need to ensure that you are able to manage the risk more proactively, and that's been our approach and reflects in our track record for over a decade and a half.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. All the best to the team.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, on the leverage piece, so now post the IPO, now our debt to equity is now 2.8x roughly. So what is the level up to which we can again scale our debt to equity? Firstly on that.
So, Chintan, we are currently at around 2.5. The rating agency, the regulator, the lenders, they all are comfortable anywhere between 4 to 4.2 times. So this will give us enough headroom to grow our balance sheet for the next 2 to 2.5 years. So we will not be required to raise any equity if we continue to grow at a CAGR of say close to 25 to 30% for the next 2.5 years at least. So the next raise should happen in FY28.
Sure. And ROI-wise, probably. Yes. Sorry.
We are also profitable business, so
we were having around 80 to 90 crores of profit, every quarter. So that will also give us enough headroom. So, yeah. And we have raised around 980 crores, this year.
Sure, so no, I was just trying to understand from the ROE perspective. So, given how far can the ROE go, considering probably ROE of 3 to 3.5%. So, what would be the ROE number? I was looking at that number. Secondly, sir, on the placement volume. So, placement volume seems to be flat for on a 9M basis. But there seems to be a dip in the fee income from 20 crores to 17 crores. So any change in the take rates here, or how should we read this?
I think it's a function of the credit offtake. The placement business is a function of credit offtake, and not only us, and I'm sure most of the people before us over in the comment we would have given to you, they've been cautious, and that's one of the reasons. But I can also tell you, it also provides an opportunity for us to provide more structured and credit solutions to the institutions as liquidity becomes tighter. I think that we are pretty bullish, and not only this is an important quarter for that business, but also as we go forward, among the product heft we have, that will continue to be a meaningful contributor to our business as we go forward there. We've actually did very interesting transaction with the consumer finance sector. Weightage went up, and people were struggling to raise money. So we did some very, very interesting transaction by moving thousands of crores of money in a manner which provided great solutions to lots of people. So we continue to stay committed. I think this business, as the credit demand increases, there is a massive demand, but as the credit demand increases, we see an increase in this line.
Sure. And also on the MFI piece, so what is the write-off policy for the microfinance business currently?
Our policy is clear. We write off all unsecured loans at 90. All unsecured loans at 90 DPD.
Sure, 90 plus DPD. And so on the stage 3, which is currently 110 crores, that's a data keeping question. Could you help us with the breakup of the stage 3 into the segmental breakup for stage 3?
Yes.
Yeah. And stage 2 as well, if possible, yeah.
I will give it to you. Segmental.
Out of the 110 crores of 10 crores of stage 3 exposure that we have spoken about, the large pieces are in affordable housing around 25 crores and MSME LAP around 39 crores. And there is obviously microfinance, we do not have much, because of the write-off policy. And there are certain mid-corp exposure, but the large numbers are MSME LAP and probably.
Well, if you look at it on a year-to-date basis, it's fair to say between the consumer finance and the MSME are the two large constituents. MSI are the two largest constituents of pool, correct, of credit cost.
Sure. And also on the collection efficiency, if you could answer particularly for the microfinance piece, even if we exclude Karnataka, so could you give just some broad sense on how the trend has been so far? So we have seen for most of the lenders, the collection efficiency have improved from November to December, and they have also sustained kind of in January. So how has been, I think we mentioned that collection efficiency was better in December, so but how has been the trend in January and February so far also, if you could share some thoughts there?
Yeah, collection efficiency improved in November and December. January was flat or slightly lower. February is a little too early. The collection cycle itself lasts till 7th and 8th of the month. And then there are collections after that on a daily basis. So to that extent, for February, it is a bit early to comment on. But between December and January, the collection efficiency remained slightly lower.
Since the wave is okay, one is the dot, two is the line, three is the trajectory.
Yeah.
We want to see a trajectory before we formally comment on the improvements.
Sure, sir. And sir, just one last question on the interest reversal part which you mentioned in the commentary. So that was specifically for MFI, right? And so that was towards the accounts which we have written off for the quarter.
It was for all our loans which has been written off, okay. And also on which, they are, which were in stage 3. So it was for all the portfolio, not specific to MFI, and the amount was 24 crores.
Sorry, how much was? 9?
54 crores.
54 crores, sure. Interest reversal was 54 crores, okay.
24.
24, sure. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Hello. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today. I wish you all happy Valentine's Day. Yesterday's Valentine's Day, so thank you for taking the time out and being with us. Thank you and have a great week. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.